We've been looking these last few weeks at the first letter of the Apostle Peter, and we've seen how he was writing to Christians who had been grieved by various trials, as he writes in chapter 1, verse 6. And we've seen as we've gone through how some had endured suffering as a result of that. And as we've gone through the letter, we've seen how we should be ready for such trials, and we've got that similar theme in the passage that we're looking at today from chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. It's particularly about how we should react when we come to such a time of fiery trial, as Peter calls it. And the first thing that Peter writes is in verse 12, "Do not be surprised." Now, if you know the Bible well, you might be surprised that we're being told to be not surprised. After all, Jesus spoke about this. He warned his disciples that they would be persecuted. In our recent daily Bible readings, we've been looking at how Peter and others were persecuted in the early church. And Paul and James write about it in their letters too, as well as the letters to the seven churches at the start of Revelation. Yet when such things happen, many do seem to be surprised by them. And it's not just persecution, but sickness or bereavement and so on. They test our faith. And people are often surprised, as if someone had told them that following Jesus would always be easy. And as a minister, a teacher of the Bible, I wonder sometimes whether I've done enough in telling people about these things. But I think sometimes people just don't hear, or they don't think it will happen, or they think that God won't let it happen to them. And here we're told, don't be surprised, as though something strange were happening to you. It's not strange. Persecution, which is really what these verses are about, persecution is normal. And Peter is writing here about trials which test you. So they're not random things. They're part of the purpose of God. And this is written to those, as it says in verse 19, who suffer according to God's will. So such suffering is allowed by God. It's part of his will, and it's part of his purpose to test us, to show that our faith is genuine. And if it's genuine, then it is purified through the testing. So don't be surprised. Then Peter says, rejoice. And again, this is nothing new. You can find that in the teaching of Jesus and Paul. So Paul, for example, wrote about how tribulation produces perseverance, that produces character, that produces joy, and so on. And James wrote about it. And we find Jesus saying, great is your reward in heaven when you're persecuted by others. So Peter is not telling us to take a perverse pleasure in suffering, but he says, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering. So this is particularly about when we're persecuted. In verse 14 he says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ. And you may have experience of that yourself, of people insulting you or something similar, because you believe and trust in Jesus. Early in Acts we've seen how Peter had been arrested for speaking about Jesus as Christ. He'd been threatened, and he'd told not to speak again in that name. But of course, he still did. And in verse 16, he writes here about suffering as a Christian. The name Christian only comes three times in the New Testament. It's what people started to call the followers of Jesus because they kept going on about Jesus being the Christ. And then, and still today, people are persecuted for being a Christian, for trusting in Jesus. But actually, Peter's saying that should cause us to rejoice, because we're therefore sharing in Christ's suffering. We're actually being insulted because of him. And so people are insulting him and persecuting him. And we share in that, in his suffering. So we can rejoice because we are so identified with Christ. But we can also rejoice because if we belong to Christ, then as verse 13 says, we are going to rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. In other words, when he comes again. So we share in his sufferings now, and we will share in his glory. And so we can rejoice because of both. And see that these are not empty words. You see it with Paul and Peter in the New Testament and others, that they suffered persecution. We see it through history and amongst many around the world today who are suffering for the name of Christ, and yet they rejoice because of it. And indeed, such rejoicing has often led to those who have persecuted them coming to faith, becoming Christians themselves. So fiery trials will come. Don't be surprised, but rejoice when they do. And Peter goes on to say, don't suffer for the wrong reasons, verse 15. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. It's interesting that you've got this list which begins with murderer and ends with meddler. I don't know if you sort of think about meddling is something we shouldn't do, but when people meddle, it's about being busying themselves in the affairs of others. They think it's their job to run other people's lives. Now, of course, there's a proper place for concern for others. We need to teach, we need to rebuke and correct and so on. We need to encourage one another and so on. But it's not our place to try and run the lives of others. So in what Peter says here, we are reminded again that though we are saved by faith in Christ, when we believe and trust in Christ, yet our faith should then be lived out. It should transform our lives. We should want to live God's way. And therefore we should make sure that we don't suffer for the wrong reasons. We're not suffering because of our own wrongdoing. Well, we've seen how suffering has a good purpose. It's a trial, it tests our faith, it's God's will. Therefore, we can say that God allows persecution as part of the way in which he judges. Excuse me. Verse 17 says, for it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. So the fiery trials are also part of that judgment. Indeed, they serve to show when faith is genuine. It's faith in Christ that leads to us being saved because of Christ, and in particular because of his suffering for us. And that faith is shown to be genuine as we endure through persecution. Peter says in verse 18, the righteous is scarcely saved. Which doesn't actually sound very good when you sort of first read it. But it's because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be saved because we're sinners. So our sins condemn us. But we're told that righteousness comes through faith in Christ. So although we don't deserve it because of our sin, by faith we are saved. Therefore the righteous is scarcely saved. It's not because we've got loads of reason for ourselves for that, but because of God's grace to us. So judgment begins at the household of God. But what if somebody doesn't trust in Christ? What if the trial proves that their faith is not genuine? Well, Peter asks in verse 17, if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And in verse 18, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Now, Peter doesn't answer those questions here. But without Christ, we've got no hope. Without Christ, our sin condemns us. And indeed, so does our rejection of Christ. Therefore, in these verses, we see that having faith, we should not be surprised by persecution, by fiery trial. It's God's will, it's part of his judgment. But if we trust in Christ, if we're being persecuted because of the name of Christ, we can rejoice in that. And we know that when his glory is revealed, we will rejoice and be glad in that too. Persecution can hurt us, but we shouldn't be afraid of those who do this, because as Jesus said, they can hurt the body, but they cannot hurt our souls. So Peter concludes this section, therefore let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So don't be tempted to turn away. And keep doing good, doing the will of God. And then know that through faith in Christ you will be saved, because you've entrusted your soul to God in him. It is safe with Christ. Well, let's just think about that for a moment and then I'll pray. Father God, we thank you for all that you've done for us through the Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that through faith in him we can endure through any trials that come. Help us, Lord, to stand firm, to know that they will come, and to keep trusting you and to keep living for you in all that happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to sing together now, Faithful One, So Unchanging.